All righty, in 3, 2, 1. Yo, everyone, you're listening to Filmmaker Mike and the boys. Joining me for this episode is the one and only Pinhead.
All right, now we can go.
Yeah. So how about that Madam Web?
I haven't seen it, and I don't plan on it.
Now, you know, I actually wanted to see it, but holy shit, the amount
of... Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
Oh, I thought you saw it.
Well, what really turned me off was that everyone was just posting the scenes, and I was just like, started watching, and I'm like, holy shit, Dakota Johnson didn't even seem like she fucking tried. I'm like, holy shit, dude. Well, yeah. At the same time, I think... when they first announced that they were making this movie, I'm not sure if it was Dakota Johnson and a few of the cast, they tagged Marvel Studios because they thought this was an MCU movie. Which, hey, I don't blame them. You hear Marvel, you instantly think, oh, I'm part of the MCU. Shit, like that's huge.
And but I heard then, she fired her agency right after that, too, because she thought she was supposed to be in an MCU movie.
Yeah, and that's what they were saying. Sony has been very deceptive in saying, hey, you're going to be in a Marvel movie. And they're thinking, like, I'm in the MCU. Look, Mom, I made it. And then fucking to find out, oh, it's a Sony Marvel bullshit? Oh, damn it. And
Mom.
It is bombing really bad, and I just, you know, I've been saying, like, I was actually excited to see it. I know it's going to be bad, but I wasn't thinking it was going to be this bad. Holy shit. So yeah. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to save my ticket. I'm going to save my Cinemark movie club ticket for something else. I'm just going to wait for this to hit streaming. Or you could just go on Twitter and you see a bunch of scenes. Like, everyone's posting all the shit. Mark Bernardin, Kevin Smith's writer buddy, watched it with a bunch of writers, and he said the only thing that made it better was that they were all inebriated while they were watching it. And he even said, it's worse than Cats. It's worse than Cats, wow. The movie. So that's, wow. And I've never seen Cats, but we all remember the fiasco that was Cats, the movie,
yeah.
Based on the very popular Broadway hit, but holy shit.
People are even saying it's worse than Morbius.
And exactly. See, I was expecting at least the same a quality of Morbius, which Morbius was actually, for me, it was watchable. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And some of the writers for Morbius wrote this movie. But for whatever reason, hey, let's go back to 2003, you know. And man, had they included Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man in this, it would have made it more watchable. But
that's
no.
What I'm saying. Like, they should have included some this bargain bin guy dressed.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell they were thinking. And this is the death knell for Sony. I'm sorry, but
yeah.
What are you going to do outside of Spider-Man? You can't. No one cares.
Yeah. And
they want to see Spider-Man.
Someone pretty much said, this is exactly Sony executives pre-packaging this movie because it's part of the Spider-Man universe.
Yeah.
And not really giving a shit. It doesn't matter what the quality is. They're just like, yeah, just so we can continue with the rights, like release something that's related to Spider-Man, and we can still keep the rights.
That's cheap, and that's lazy as fuck.
Exactly. When the budget was $80 million, and it made like $6 million opening.
God.
And then now it's 25 for the Valentine's President's Day weekend, which you would for a long weekend like that, you would have thought that, hey, you got it, you know, you'd hit a little bit more, especially for a superhero movie, a Spider-Man based superhero movie with beautiful looking women. You know, really popular, especially Sydney Sweeney. I mean, you know.
Yeah, Sydney Sweeney's tits couldn't even sell this movie.
No.
That's how bad this film is.
If only the Sony execs realized, like, hey, the Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse, fantastic movies. when if only they could just get it into their heads, like, hey, if we make a good product, people will, and not only enjoy it, but they will watch it, and they will probably watch it one time, two times, and the word of mouth will spread, and we will get everyone else in. Nobody knows who the hell Madam Web is, aside from the comic book geeks and nerds. And
what's next? Kraven the Hunter?
Yeah.
And this is the conversation I have with friends of AEW. Only the wrestling nerds know who you're bringing into the show. Same with only the comic nerds know who Madam Web and Kraven the Hunter are. The mainstream audience is like, huh?
Right. And if it's not good enough for the main audience, your core audience, it's not going to be good enough for the casual moviegoer.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really sad and pathetic. This graphic has been going around, and it says all these events happen in Madam Web except one. Can you guess which is the lie? So there's a few facts here. It says Madam Web is born in a cave in Peru with the help of magic spider people. The three spider women never get powers and are only seen in costumes during dream sequences. Evil Spider-Man is killed by a large Pepsi sign. Madam Web becomes wanted for kidnapping by the NYPD. Madam Web runs down evil Spider-Man in her car twice. Peter Parker is born but not named. Madam Web inexplicably splits into three ghost-like copies of herself near the end of the movie, which I did see that scene where she's like telling her spider girlfriends, like, yeah, hey, it'll be okay. I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? What is this shit? So, yeah, one of those is a lie. And I cannot, for the life of me, figure out which one. And then Uncle Ben supposedly is a paramedic in this movie who works with Madam Web. And the whole, with great power comes great responsibility, they put a new spin on it. And it's like, what the fuck? You made it worse. You should have just stuck with the original thing. It's like, oh, man. Yeah, I'm trying to find it. Oh, it says, oh, no. Someone tweeted, in Madam Web, Dakota Johnson says to a young Uncle Ben, what, you've never been shot at in Queens? This movie is a masterpiece. Holy shit. Oh, man. I need to look for the quote, the new quote on, but supposedly there was a man that was removed from Madam Web screening for masturbating to Sydney Sweeney's Julia Carpenter Spider-Woman.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, and I heard, yeah.
Would have made Pee-wee proud.
Yeah, and they all get in their costumes at the very end, and it's very quick, which, of course, everyone, you know, that's what everyone was guessing that was going to happen. But I'm like,
well, wow. They're all tight suits?
Well, it looks, Sydney Sweeney's suit looks really tight, and, like, it looks good. And that's what, when I first saw the trailer with the song, what do you want? For me, whoever sings that song, yeah, I was like, oh, when I see that shot of her with the mask, I'm like, oh, that looks fucking good, but yeah, so this is from Screen Rant. Let's see, Marvel just changed Spider-Man's with great responsibility line for the second time in 3 years. So, Spider-Man, of course, No Way Home also altered the line. Also, in Madam Web, they changed Spider-Man's iconic line to, quote, when you take on the responsibility, great power will come. Who the fuck thought of that shit? I wanna speak to the writer who thought of that shit and said, oh, that's fucking it. Because that's going to blow. All the fans are going to eat up that shit. They're going to love that.
That is pathetic.
when you take on the responsibility, great power will come. Oh yeah,
what that the? that sounds so much better.
Yeah,
wow.
Because and I remember in Spider-Man No Way Home when Aunt May said, "With great power, there must also come great responsibility." which is fine because they didn't really derail from the original. You know, it makes sense. And to hear that from Aunt May, it made sense also because, yeah, we never even saw Uncle Ben. So this time we're hearing it from Aunt May right before she dies. But yeah, fucking insane.
I don't understand how this didn't get wrangled in. Like, I really don't.
Yeah, and the whole decision of, oh, we should have Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. And then at the last minute, oh, no, let's change that shit because Andrew Garfield Spider-Man from No Way Home wasn't a hit. People weren't demanding to see an amazing Spider-Man 3, you know, after all these years.
Yeah.
So let's not put that Spider-Man. Let's just focus on Madame Web and let's set it in 2003. Let's set it in 2003 for no fucking reason. Other than, oh, we can throw back to, hey, this is more than 20 years ago. But, you know, if Spider-Man was, when Peter Parker is born, we won't even name the fucking kid. Fucking that's insane.
Pathetic.
Insane. Anyway, moving on to the MCU. The actual MCU.
Yeah, the one she thought she was going to be in.
Yeah, holy shit, man. That's insane. So yes, we did get the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer, which looks fantastic. It looks a lot of fun. We finally got the announcement for the Fantastic Four cast with a poster and a look at the Fantastic Four. Now, these names, this cast has actually been leaked for a while now. A lot of people have already been, you know. And for whatever reason, Marvel just, you know, decided, hey, let's announce it on Valentine's Day, the same day that Madame Web is releasing in theaters to overshadow that bullshit and try to take away from that. So, of course, we have Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic. We got Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm, Sue Richards, or whichever, if they're, I'm not even sure if they'll be married by then, or perhaps they're still dating. And then we're also going to get, oh my goodness, where is the, we got Ebon Moss Bacharach to star as Ben Grimm, also known as The Thing. Ebon Moss is very famously known in The Bear, which is a fantastic show. And when I saw that they announced him as Ben Grimm, I thought, yeah, you know what? That works. I could definitely see that. Have you checked out The Bear yet?
No.
No? I highly recommend
it. I don't have Hulu anymore, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then we also got, what's his name? From Stranger Things 4.
Yeah.
What's his name? I'm trying to remember. Where is the... Can I get the list?
The Metalhead Kid.
Yeah. Joseph Quinn. Joseph Quinn, more famously known from Stranger Things 4 as... what's his name? He played this character.
Munson or some
Eddie,
shit.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, perfect. Yes, thank you.
I forgot about Eddie Munson too, because it's been so long.
Yeah, Eddie Munson. Eddie Munson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's playing Johnny Storm, the Human Torch. And with that, they released this very vintage looking poster. And it was very interesting because behind Ben Grimm, there is a framed picture of him in his human form as an astronaut. And it looks like he's reading an issue of Life magazine, which that particular issue was like an issue that was released in 1962. So it looks like the movie will be set in the 60s, which I dig. We're going back in time with Fantastic Four in the 60s. Herbie the robot is also there. Looks like he's serving Ben Grimm a cup of coffee in a Fantastic Four mug. So yeah, it looks like it's set in the 60s, which I really dig. And I think I like the vibe that it's going with so far from the poster. And then Screen Rant, of course, released this 10 biggest reveals from the Fantastic Four movie art. Herbie will make his big screen debut, which is the robot. Also, of course, gives the first look at a team's costumes, supports a period piece setting, will have a family focus. Fantastic Four are back to being astronauts. The release date has been confirmed to be delayed. So it was supposed to release this year, but of course they haven't even, or maybe they did start filming already. But it's now going to release next year, 2025, July 2025, a few weeks after Superman Legacy. The Fantastic Four will be slightly older, and this film's title is confirmed as The Fantastic Four. So there you go. That's the release. That's the, what's the date? Yeah, July 25th, 2025. So that's the official date. Yeah, just a few weeks after Superman Legacy, which I think
I'm interested to see what Kuya thinks.
Yeah. So far, a lot of people don't seem to like Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards. I actually dig it. I like that. Because for the longest time, it's always been Pedro Pascal with some fucking kid. Like, he's trying, you know, he's trying to be a single dad. But I like this one because now we're going to see a different, you know. And now he's crossed over into the Marvel from Star Wars to The Last of Us. And now the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So I'm excited. I'm really looking forward to the cast. Vanessa Kirby, of course, was recently seen in Mission Impossible. Dead Reckoning. And she was even interviewed. She was asked, like, yeah, last year when she was doing red carpet press for Mission Impossible, if she were to play Sue Storm, would she like to? And she said it would be an honor. So most likely even last year, they already knew they were cast. They just couldn't say anything until it was officially announced. Who knows why Marvel waited this long, but at least we finally have that. Yeah. So there you go. Marvel's first family finally coming to the big screen. And there's rumor that Javier Bardem will be playing Galactus.
Oh, God.
So not sure. I'd like to see Victor Von Doom, Dr. Doom himself. Ben Mendelsohn said he would love to play Dr. Doom. I think that would be fantastic. So whoever they get, I hope it's definitely someone, you know, closer in age, maybe even a little bit older than Reed Richards, but closer in age would work. Or even if they were older, but they, you know, that would be fine too. So looking forward to that. So we don't have much to wait, too long to wait for Fantastic Four, because we're getting it in a little over a year. And then another thing that dropped this week was our first look at the X-Men 97 trailer. And a fantastic trailer it is. You got Wolverine running with Gambit right up on his back. Gambit charges up his claws. And I'm like, holy shit, that's pretty much the money shot there. And then, of course, they show at the end, I don't even remember Professor X dying at the end. Or at least I don't remember seeing that episode.
I thought he got sent to, like, the Shi'ar Empire stepped in or some shit. And,
yeah,
like,
I remember the Shi'ar Empire. That's right, yeah. But I don't remember him dying.
I couldn't be misremembering it because it's been, I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
Right. Yeah, so I think, yeah, they're all on Disney Plus. So I think it's time to revisit them.
It's time to revisit.
Yeah. And then Magneto, that Wolverine definitely sounds different. I think it's a different actor. And then you also have Magneto with longer hair. And, of course, that's
people are already pissed off about it and saying it's going to be woke.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the
X-Men.
Because
of the Morph shit. Yeah, because of what they did with Morph, and now it's woke.
The X-Men have always been woke in the first place.
Well, that's why I'm saying, like, did you even read... Even I've read X-Men comic books. Have any of you opened an X-Men comic?
Seriously.
Like, come on.
And
what are we talking about here?
The X-Men were created pretty much as a metaphor in a way. I'm trying to think of a better word, but metaphor is the easiest one that I can think of.
Yeah.
For homosexuality in the 60s. It was a whole lot of, you know, I just read something like in X2, the second X-Men movie from the early 2000s, when Bobby Drake, Iceman, is telling his family that he has mutant powers. What's his name? Magneto. Sir Ian McKellen spoke to the filmmakers and made it look more like a coming out scene when he was telling his parents and his family that he had mutant powers. But yeah, like, woke. What the fuck are you guys thought? You guys have clearly not read an X-Men comic book, or at least several of them, to understand what the word even means and what the X-Men really stand for.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
But the pitchforks have already come out, so.
Yeah. So yeah, X-Men 97, an all-new series, arrives March 20th on Disney Plus. So I'm not sure if they're going to drop all of them, or we're going to get one a week, or like they're going to drop two or three at a time. Hopefully they drop all of them. It looks good. I love that it still takes on the original style of art. And then some people were complaining that Rogue's voluptuous ass is no longer to be found. They pretty much nerfed her ass. Storm has a mohawk. Oh my god.
Yeah.
You guys have clearly not read X-Men comic books to realize that Storm had a mohawk long before you were out of your diapers, or a lot of people were even born. Like, holy shit. That's one of the most badass looks for a comic book character.
It's one of her most iconic looks, too.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, even I know this. Like, how stupid can you be? This is why I say you haven't opened an X-Men comic ever in your lives.
Yeah.
Don't say that you have, because you're lying.
Seriously, it's like, what the hell? We live in a world where people don't know the like holy shit. Yep.
And I'm not saying you have to, but if you don't know anything about the X-Men, don't state an opinion about it.
Well, yeah, why bother?
Don't call it woke.
Why bother?
Like, yeah, just shut the fuck up.
Because, yeah, I wouldn't even understand the basis. Why would you even bother watching? Unless you grew up on the original series, which is pretty very faithful to the characters, to the comics. Like, but they did the very colorful costumes, very 90s, but everything was there. So I don't, I'm not understanding. What
neither am I. This is a bunch of fucking crybabies always crying about nothing.
Yeah, like, we live in a golden age of, like, you got X-Men this, you got Fantastic Four, we got 20 plus movies of Marvel, you know, and then all these video games, all these series, not just on Disney, but you got Hulu, you can pretty much watch anything and spend so much time with it and not have to watch anything else. But, you know, people just like, wah.
I want it now.
I want it now.
It's like the Chinese comedian. I can't remember his name. I watched his special on Netflix. Like, he's like, Amazon now. Like, because we have that mentality of just, we want it now.
Uh-huh.
He even had a bit where he was like talking about, he wanted it where I want it so I could see it in the future, so I know that I want my item before I even know what I want.
Is that Ronnie Ching?
Yeah, I think.
Okay, yeah, he's pretty funny.
Megan.
He's
fucking hilarious.
Oh, he's in Megan? He's in Megan? Okay.
Yeah, he's in Megan.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I've seen some of his short clips on Instagram. He's pretty funny.
Let me make sure. Yeah, it is Ronnie. Yeah, he's fucking hilarious. And
I'm
he's
have
in
to
Megan.
Check it out then.
Yeah, he's in Megan, so.
That's cool.
And that's where I was like, wait, I saw, because I saw the stand-up that, like, it average, because I've been watching a lot of stand-up lately on Netflix, and it recommended it to me. I'm like, wait a minute, this fool, I know his face. And then I watched it. He's hilarious.
Nice. Look at this. This just came up on Twitter, or should I say X? Isabella Merced says there's a scene so disgusting in Alien Romulus. It had crew and cast members turning away.
I heard about this, or I read this article. I was like, that's a good omen. That's a good omen.
So it's got Kai Spaney and Isabella Merced starring in it.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's cool. Nice.
I got tapered my expectations, but I got high hopes for this damn movie.
Yeah.
After what they did with Prey, that's why I'm got high hopes.
So no teaser yet, right?
No, and it's starting to really piss me off because the movie's done.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be what, August?
Yeah.
August 16th. Yeah. Well, like
we got trailers for Wicked for Thanksgiving. We gotta get something.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, we got a trailer for a movie that's not coming out until Thanksgiving. I can't get an Alien Rom. You just
right.
25 seconds even. Please.
Yeah. You wanna hype up people who are into the Alien movies, you know, and just even like let people know, like, hey, this is coming in August. Like
exactly. Like I don't get it.
Oh man.
Hopefully something soon. I hope something like Dune.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Speaking of Dune Part 2. Oh, everyone's like, oh. Rivals the Two Towers, Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers battle scenes. So much action. So
no, I think we're overhyping it already.
Right? And then did you see that? Well, I know you read the book, so that's why I shared it on the group chat, because I figured it wouldn't be a spoiler for you guys. There's a new cast member that joined, a surprise.
Yeah. I was like, who's she gonna play though? Like,
so you know what, you still have no clue?
No, because
okay. I read something. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't read the article. I just like.
Okay.
I know who you're talking about, but it wouldn't bother me because I already know what happens in this movie. I've already read the book.
Right.
So it's like.
Yep. From Variety, surprise, Anya Taylor-Joy confirms Dune Part 2 role at London premiere. So I will not mention the character's name that she plays.
Okay.
But
I'll look it up.
Yeah. But when I saw it, I'm like, oh, okay. That's cool. I've not read the books yet, but that's pretty cool. So
all right. Well, I'll look it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think they had it premiere in Mexico. And then of course they had the on their carpet. Oh, I don't even know if there was a carpet. They had sand. They had nice, fine, powdery sand. And Zendaya just announced her next role in Star Wars. She's gonna be playing a protocol droid. a half sexy female human in protocol droid with that costume.
I saw that. I was like, what the
And I guess that's an actual costume from the 90s that someone wore, another model.
Just coming out of Demolition Man.
Yeah, for real. And then all the Photoshops, though, are hilarious. They made a Photoshop of her standing next to R2-D2, and they colored it gold chrome. So, yeah. Dune Part 2. You see it?
Did you read the reviews and shit on
for what?
For Dune Part 2, because the embargo released. Have you read any of the reviews?
I haven't read any reviews. I've only read like quick reaction, not non-spoilery reactions.
Well, that's what I mean, like the non-spoiler reviews, because nobody is like spoiling anything.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah, so well behaved.
people are like, I won't say it, but it's his magnum opus. This is his masterpiece. This is his Empire Strikes Back. I'm like, here we go. Here we go.
Well, that's what Chris Nolan told Denis Villeneuve, that this was the Empire Strikes Back.
And then I sent you guys the Twitter or X, whatever the fuck you're calling it now, of the guy who used it to trash Christopher Nolan.
What?
Or not Christopher Nolan, but Zack Snyder.
Oh, yeah. Zack Snyder. Because, you know, Zack Snyder's got to pay.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck does this have to do with Dune Part 2? Why do you guys go around every corner to go, I'm going to bash Snyder? You know, you guys say the cult, so far, so-called the Snyder cult, hasn't gotten over it, but you guys are the ones that won't shut the fuck up about it.
Living in their heads rent-free.
Like...
Can you imagine, in an alternate timeline, Zack Snyder directs Dune Part 1 and Part 2, and holy shit, the visuals look fucking amazing. The score is still by Hans Zimmer, but then you have, like, it's so divisive.
The sandworms come out in slow-mo.
Yeah, oh! You see the big dick of the sandworm. Holy shit, dude. Oh, man. Yeah, in an alternate timeline, Zack Snyder directs Dune Part 1 and Part 2, and the hardcore, like, the Snyder haters are like, no!
Yeah, it definitely won't be getting no 80s and 90s on Rotten Tomatoes. That's for sure. Right?
Yeah. Just because it's Snyder.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, speaking of which, they have that, the... Oh, yeah, we did talk about it a few, I don't know if it was last episode or a few episodes ago, the Dune popcorn bucket, which SNL has made a whole skit and song based off.
Not surprised.
Yeah. pretty hilarious. And then Ian McDiarmid, Emperor Palpatine himself, confirms Palpatine had, quote, Sith sex. But doesn't want to think about it.
Sex?
He confirms that Palpatine had Sith sex, but he doesn't want to think about it. So thank you, because now you've made us all think about it. Because
you
had to say that.
Why'd you bring it up?
Yeah. Yep. And then, of course, this one is supposedly an exclusive.
I'm sorry, but Sith sex.
Yeah, Sith sex. Yeah. Yep. This one is from Insider Gaming exclusive. Respawn is developing a first-person Star Wars Mandalorian game.
Oh, shit.
Well, you know, years ago, before Disney acquired Lucasfilm, there was this game that they were, this LucasArts game that they were developing called Star Wars 1313. And from the leaked images and the description, it sounded like it was going to be fucking awesome. So Star Wars 1313 is a canceled action-adventure video game that was under development by LucasArts. The game would take a more mature, gritty direction compared to past Star Wars video games. And supposedly you were going to play Boba Fett, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that I didn't know.
If I'm not mistaken, you were either going to play as Boba Fett or you were going to play as a bounty hunter, and you would have probably interacted with Boba Fett. It would have been like 2002 Star Wars Bounty Hunter, and it would emphasize fast-paced gadget and weapon-based combat using tools exclusive to bounty hunters rather than force and lightsaber-based combat, which would have been fucking awesome.
Yeah. Why did that get scrapped?
And then, so the plot, Star Wars 1313 was supposed to revolve around Boba Fett in his early adulthood, navigating past the scum of civilization in an underground area of Coruscant known as Level 1313. So you were in the underbelly of Coruscant as young fucking Boba Fett.
That would have made Jester blowing his buddy Lee Dung.
It would have. And it would have made... Can you imagine playing that game and then years later in The Mandalorian getting reintroduced to fucking Boba Fett? And we'd be like, wow, shit!
Talk about missed opportunities.
It was huge. It was huge.
Jesus.
Yeah. Really sad that it got canceled. So now it looks like they're making this new Mandalorian game. So according to sources, the game will see the player take control of a Mandalorian bounty hunter, unclear yet who it is, set during the time when the Galactic Empire is dominating across the galaxy. It's your job as a bounty hunter to capture bounties, dead or alive, for cash rewards. Okay, so that's cool, but I wonder if it's going to be Boba Fett, or do we get to choose, or do we most likely be a custom, get to make your own bounty hunter. But yeah, so that's, let's see.
Is the Grogu going to be in there?
I don't think so, because it says it's going to take place during the height of the Galactic Empire.
Okay.
Yeah. So do we get a scene where Vader calls? It would be cool if it's Vader, if it's Boba Fett, and then one of your missions, Darth Vader calls on you, and then something happens in the mission where you disintegrate fucking your kill or whatever, your prey, your bounty. And that's where the line comes from when Darth Vader tells Boba Fett, "An empire, no disintegrations." I don't know. That's just me. That would have been, because for whatever, hey. I don't remember them connecting it, unless it's in the comics or the books that I have not read yet. Yeah, you were saying something?
No, I was just, no.
Yeah.
No. This isn't my expertise, so I fall back here because it's like, it ain't Star Trek, so I lose interest, that's all.
Yeah. And then we are pretty close. This Wednesday, we're going to get The Bad Batch, the third and final season. 3-episode premiere. Oh, my God, yeah.
So this is the last season, huh?
This is the final season. The final season of Star Wars, The Bad Batch, starts streaming February 21st with a 3-episode premiere only on Disney Plus. So,
and for those that are interested, that's good for people to hold them over until X-Men 97 comes out.
Yeah, yeah. And this last week as well, the official Star Wars Twitter account was retweeting, because apparently a bunch of media people, those connected, well-connected folks, already got to see 8 episodes of The Bad Batch Season 3.
Of course they did.
And rave reviews, very positive. Very positive reviews, the best animation from Lucasfilm yet. And, you know, so I'm like, okay, that's great. When can I see it?
I know.
Y'all got eight episodes? 8 episodes. Not okay, we're getting 3 on Wednesday. So there's 5 more. Like, could you given them 5? Oh, they gave them 8. I'm like, oh, shit. That's a big chunk.
That's like my issue with the critics that some that have already got to see a couple episodes of the Netflix 3-body problem. I'm like, this is not until March, dude. Like, why? Why did they get the privilege of that this early?
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Yep. Oh, and I did start watching House of Ninjas.
So did I.
The first episode, and I'm actually digging it. I'm really getting into it. I'm like, this is really fascinating. So what episode are you on?
I'm halfway through episode 2.
Okay.
Because I was still trying to watch those movies that Kuya recommended to with Kenjin Ronin or whatever it is. Like, Ronin Kenjin.
Uh-huh.
So I only got through like 2 episodes of House of Ninjas. And I'm digging it so far. It's a nice little, starts off a little slow, but once it gets into it, it really, I like the mother, like,
yeah,
but it's not bad. I'm liking it so far.
Yeah, first episode, and it's got a certain charm to it. Like, it's
yeah,
it gets you, it invites you in, and like, even the music is like, okay, is this serious? Is it like, it's kind of lighthearted? It's kind of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm digging it.
So am I. It's not bad so far.
Yeah. And then, of course, this Thursday on Netflix, Avatar: The Last Airbender, live action. a young boy
once
known
again,
as,
I don't go yeah, ahead.
A young boy known as the Avatar must master the four elemental powers to save a world at war and fight a ruthless enemy bent on stopping him.
So this is your Incluyas thing, right? Like, you guys love the series, right?
And Jester, yeah, yeah.
Jester, oh, and Jester, yeah. Too. I didn't know. Because yeah. So, I've never seen one episode of this yet.
Yeah, so this aired on Nickelodeon. When it originally yeah. aired, I never really watched it. But I must, yeah, I think Jester watched it. I don't know if Kuya watched it when it aired. But some friends of ours who are big fans lent us the DVDs, box sets.
Okay.
And I think there's three seasons, and it's basically book one, book two, book three. And we started binging this. This was like, what, 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And we really got into it. And it was like, wow, it's a great story. A lot of the first or the early episodes in season one, Dave Filoni actually directed and produced and worked on.
Of course he did.
Yeah. Because, yeah, before he got the job for Clone Wars, he was working on, this is the show that he was working on. So yeah, the series is fantastic. It's got a great story and great characters, and that's why when M. Night Shyamalan, when they announced the M. Night Shyamalan live action movie, everyone was curious. But it's like, okay, when you see the trailer, like it looks, it's already got a different vibe in a sense,
yeah.
And they couldn't even say Aang. Because that's how you pronounce his name, Aang. It's spelled A-A-double-A-N-G. So it's pronounced Aang in the show. But M. Night Shyamalan.
He's Aang.
Aang, you know? And then even in the movie, it's not the Avatar. It's the Avatar. I'm like, what the fuck is it? What is this shit?
We're in Nevada again?
Yeah, Nevada bullshit. Like, holy shit. Anyway. And then, yeah. So the whole bending in the cartoon and the animated series, it looks great. Like they're bending, there's earth benders where they can bend rocks and soil and, you know, manipulate it. And then there's the fire benders, there's the water benders, and then there's the air benders. In the live action movie of M. Night Shyamalan, it's like, what the hell? Like some of the choreography was just like, did they even watch the series? Like, what'd you, it seems like they didn't watch the entire thing. Anyway, so years later now, you know, Netflix announced that they were doing this with the original creators of the series. And so everyone was, you know, okay, at least you're working with the original creators. But I think they eventually left midway through production or something like that. But, you know, upon the release of the first trailer, it's very faithful to the series. It looks very faithful. The characters' looks, the costumes, even, of course, the music, it's everything is hitting it on the right notes. So
that's cool.
I have big, yeah.
It's like, hey, it's like for you, it's the same thing for with me with Dune. I'm hoping it lands. So
right,
hopefully
right.
Last Airbender works out for you guys, because I know Kuya's going to be pissed if they fuck it up.
Yeah.
He'll let us know, trust me.
Oh yeah.
God. So yeah. Please, Netflix, don't fuck this up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The cast looks fantastic. And yeah, just that trailer. And then the music. I'm like, holy shit. For me, it looks like they nailed it. So, but I'm excited to see it. And if they change some things here and there, hey, I'm all for it. Some things always have to change for live action, especially with a real, you know, with a live action cast who's, you know, they're, especially the kid who plays Aang. If they're going to do a season two of this, they got to rush, you know, they got to get back in there because this kid is going to be growing before you know it. And it's
yeah.
going to be too, it might be too obvious, like the Stranger Things cast.
Exactly. You or know? Cobra Kai, they
they're
age
like,
out.
When Stranger Things season five is out, the Stranger Things cast is going to be like 55 years old. Like,
well, that's the same with Cobra Kai season six. Like by the time
right.
that comes out, all these kids are going to be in their late 40s. So.
Right, right. Yep. So yeah, there's Avatar: The Last Airbender. Yep.
I might have to check it out. You said Nickelodeon, so that means Paramount Plus should have all the episodes. Because
yes, actually, Netflix has them.
Oh, they do?
Netflix has them. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, because we started.
I have to check it out.
Yeah, we started rewatching the series, and they have him. Yeah, and Mark Hamill also has plays a character in it. Yeah, book one, book two, and book three is all on Netflix, and they're 23-minute episodes. So
yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to check it out just to see, just to strike my curiosity and see what it is.
Yeah, the series debuted in 2007.
I know it's a beloved series because everybody I talk to, they love it. I haven't heard people like, oh, it's like people love this shit. So
yeah,
I know that they'll be pissing a lot of people off if Netflix drops the ball on this again.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. Dante Bosco, who plays Rufio in Hook, he plays Zuko the Firebender in the animated series.
Oh, that's awesome. I like him.
Yeah.
Rufio.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's him. And then, yeah, they even made a spinoff years later, The Legend of Korra, which is set, like, much later after the events of the original animated series. And supposedly they're making new animated series as well in the world of Avatar. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting when that all comes out. That's pretty much all I have, unless you have anything else.
All I have is I'll say this: True Detective ended its episode tonight, and Abysmal's not even cracking the surface of it. I don't even know what I really watched at the end of the day. And it was a big happy ending, and it's like, okay, I think she was out of her depth with this series, and it just ended on it was like a wet fart. So I was sorely disappointed with this, and I love Jodie Foster, but this was bad. So that's about all I have, because I haven't been watching much of anything except for True Detective, and it wasn't good. Tokyo Vice is back, so I guess I can start watching that to wash the taste of True Detective out of my mouth.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So
I never finished that one. I need to get back into that one.
I need to finish the last couple episodes of season one and then get it, because it's like on a fourth episode of Tokyo Vice already. I didn't even know it was that far into the second season. So,
right.
And when is that Shogun show supposed to be coming? Because
that's supposed to be that's next soon. Week. Yeah, next yeah. week. Yeah, speaking of, wow, it's good you reminded me. So that one, they actually had announced a premiere of the first two episodes in movie theaters.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and I was hoping, you know, I mean, I was like, probably not, and sure enough, not Reno, not that biggest little city.
Of course.
All the major cities get to see it, but you know, not
yeah.
not you guys.
You're not New York or LA.
Yeah. Shogun FX. So yeah, that one debuts February 27th.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might have to get Hulu back because it'll be on the next day after it's on FX.
Yeah, on Hulu in the US, and then Disney Plus internationally, and Star Plus in Latin America.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check it out because I want to see that damn show.
Oh, it looks fantastic.
It looks awesome. And like the raves it's been getting about how authentic and how badass it is, I'm like, I need to see the show. This is what I've been asking for on the last couple of episodes. So,
yeah, I saw some behind the scenes of the show, and they were saying that legit, like, they actually, like, everything from all the everything that the characters do, like the traditions and everything in Japan, it's all legitimate. They actually got everyone to make sure that, you know, Japanese speaking actors and everything. Of course, it's got our favorite Hiroyuki Sanada.
Yeah.
Always a, you know, a classic
staple. Always awesome.
Yeah. So, and then I was surprised that the girl from what's that show that I started? The Godzilla show on Apple.
Oh, Monarch.
Legacy Monarch. So Boss. the girl that's in there, the daughter, she's in Shogun.
Oh, is
I was
she?
Like, yeah, good for you. I'm like, yeah.
Good for you, because you're going to be on a far better show than that fucking piece of shit on Apple.
Yeah, I started it right around after I watched my Godzilla Minus One, just to like get something more of Godzilla.
And not going to happen, buddy.
I did like 2-3 episodes, and I'm like, I fell off. I didn't get
it. It's terrible. Yeah. You're not getting your mind. I can tell you now, because I watched the whole fucking series.
Yeah.
You're not getting your Minus One fix. I promise you.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, everybody.
Yeah. Well, I guess Hiroyuki Sanada is also a producer on Shogun.
That's which is awesome. Great.
Which,
that's awesome.
Like, get that bag. Get it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so February 27th, that's coming right up.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to see it. Can't wait. Yeah, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, it does. It looks epic. I cannot wait. I'm just so excited for this. And I don't get excited about a lot, but this is where I'm like, yes.
Yeah, and that's why I was surprised, like, when they were announcing, like, hey, they're having a premiere for the first two episodes in movie theaters. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, I kind of wish it was like, yeah. So here, FX Networks is giving fans the chance to see the first two episodes of FX's Shogun free in theaters ahead of the premiere on Hulu. The showing is a first-come, first-serve event, and admission is not guaranteed. The show is TVMA and restricted to viewers 18+. It's based on the best-selling novel by James Clavell.
Well, good. I'm glad it's TV, man. That's the way it needs to be.
Yeah, and of course, the locations are Honolulu, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Michigan, Washington, Arizona, sold out, California movie theaters in San Francisco, San Diego, Orange County, and Sacramento, all sold out. Wow. Colorado sold out. Florida, all three theaters sold out. Georgia, wow. Most of these.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because it's free. It's free. But the fact that people are actually like, yeah, I want to see it on the big screen.
Yeah.
That's good. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, Texas, Washington, all sold out. Wow.
Yeah. That's awesome.
The only theaters remaining in Michigan, Minnesota, Massachusetts, and Hawaii are not sold out. Everywhere else, the free tickets have sold out, which is still good because it shows that people are excited to see this. And it, of course, when they see that a lot of people are not only watching it but enjoying it, then there's a good chance that they're going to make more, or it's gonna inspire more shows like this that we need of, we want to see more of. So that's
definitely, because we need more of it. You know, we need more of this original shit.
Yeah.
With more people that are fresh faces that aren't the same old fucking, I'm sorry, average white boys doing the same shit over and over and over again. I want to start seeing more faces.
Yeah, so this is set. It is. Looks like it's set in Japan, 1600. When is the last samurai, the Tom Cruise Last Samurai movie, when is the setting for that movie? It seems like it's close.
Let's see.
Last Samurai. Time period. 1870s. Huh. Yeah. So it's much later. Much later.
I hope we get the same quality, though, as we got with The Last Samurai.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully.
And I'm sure we will. Yeah. I'm sure we will. I think it might even be better, but who knows? You know, but I'm just so excited about this thing because this is right up my alley. Finally, something I can enjoy.
Yeah, feudal Japan like you've never seen or heard it before. Wow. Explore the lush and brutal world of FX's Shogun. Looks good.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Oh man, this is cool. They had FX is collaborating with Japan House Los Angeles to co-present an evening with FX's Shogun featuring Hiroyuki Sanada. Oh my god, that would have been fucking cool to go to. The screening will be followed by a conversation with Hiroyuki Sanada and a reception to discuss the themes of Japanese culture throughout the series. They had this on January 31st. Free admission. I'm like, ah! Oh.
People were lucky you ever got to go to that.
I know, man.
Fuck, man.
But it's good to see that they're also doing the best that they can to, like, you know, they're promoting it. They're giving free screenings. They're letting people know, like, hey, this show is coming. Check it out. And, they even had a spot on the Super Bowl, which is good. Because that, I'm sure that also got a lot of attention from people who had no idea the series was coming.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I don't got much else either because we're tapped out. I got to beat Final Fantasy 16 soon, so then I'll review that on the show. And I already saw some of the battle I got ahead, so I'm not looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Let's see. Trying to just check if I missed anything. Oh, yeah, I did. Let's see. About a month ago, I did a guy's night out with some friends. And we ended up playing at a local barcade in town. And it was a blast.
So you guys do have a barcade. See?
Yeah.
I love that shit. I miss stuff like that, man.
Yeah, so it was it's at Press Start.
Okay.
And it was cool because most of the games are a quarter. Some are 50 cents. They have 6-player X-Men arcade
game. Oh, that's awesome, dude.
So there were 6 of us playing. At one point. Oh, no, there was 5 of us. We just needed one more person. There was 5 of us playing. Someone was playing, I was playing a Cyclops. Someone was playing as Colossus, Wolverine, Storm. And I think Dazzler is the other character. Yeah. And I forgot. That's what. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. And then they had a bunch of pinball machines. I know they do pinball tournaments there.
Yeah.
It was a blast. They had a lot of classic arcade games. They had Dig. I think they had Dig Dug.
Yeah, that's my jam.
Yeah,
Dig Dug.
I finally got to play the original Tron arcade game. They had it there. It took me a while to get what was going on, like with the control, because it had like this ball to like control. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, but as soon as I got it, I'm like, okay, I got it. Like, I started playing. I'm like, this is pretty cool. And the light cycles, I'm like, holy shit, dude. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's really fun. And the fact that it just takes you back to like the 90s, the 80s, you know. Yep. And you're like, we had a bunch of quarters. They actually use quarters. None of this card swiping shit.
Like, yeah.
Like, so taking it
the
back
good
to
old
quarters.
Days.
Yeah.
The quarters. Yeah.
So I actually want to take, because it's actually open like during the day. You can, you know, it's open for families. It's open for anyone. But of course, during the nighttime, like, and the bar is actually towards the back, which is just kind of separated, which is cool.
That's cool.
So I actually want to take my kids there to actually, for them to experience playing in an arcade and putting tokens in.
Yeah.
And none of this card swiping.
Yeah, know, that exactly.
We've all gotten used to, like, I guess. But there's something about carrying quarters and putting the quarters in. Like, especially, like, when the counter, like, when your character dies.
Yeah, when the countdown clock comes.
Yeah. And you gotta fucking like, hustle. Yeah.
Yeah, put that quarter in, dude.
Yeah. And then I remember when, like, people would put their quarter to, like, save their spot, like, for the next game.
Yeah. Or when you wanted to challenge someone in a fighting game, you right, put your right. quarter down, you're like, let's go.
Oh, that's right. They have Marvel versus Capcom. They have Mortal Kombat 2.
Hell yeah.
They have Street Fighter, the OG Street Fighter.
Hell yeah.
Which is like, this is fucking awesome. And some of the games were like, it seemed like, I don't know, if someone forgot that they put quarters or it was like free play. I was like, well, okay. I'll do it.
Hey.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a really cool spot, and it's just so much fun. It's a lot of fun. So
I wish I could have gone there before I left.
Yeah, yeah. Well, definitely whenever you get to visit again,
yeah,
you have to make a trip there. But yeah, it's really cool. A lot of fun.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Another fun episode of Filmmaker Mike and the boys. Except the other boys aren't here, but hey,
yeah.
It's all good. Maybe next time.
Yeah, maybe Kui will be here. Jester will be here. I can ask him about how he felt about True Detective. So
yeah, and Kui will have,
because he's gonna have a much different opinion than I do. I already know.
Yep.
So.
Oh yeah. Alrighty. Well, thank you guys for listening or watching.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Stay safe out there. And until next time, see y'all again soon.